Magandang araw po sa inyong lahat. Alvin Litona po, naglilingkod bilang isa sa mga pastors ng Crossroads Church of Dubai. Tayo po ay nagpapatuloy sa ating sermon series in the Gospel according to Mark. So far sa ating napag-aralan, we have seen that Jesus exercised authority over storms and sickness and spirits and even death. Because of his preaching and miraculous activities, crowds of people followed him and throng around him. His popularity is known throughout the land. Last week po, we have seen na pagdating ni Jesus sa kanyang hometown, he was rejected and ridiculed by his own relatives and people. This rejection was a good teaching time para sa mga disciples before he sends them out on a mission trip. That is, in the gospel ministry, they will face opposition. They will face affliction, persecution, rejection, and even death. And Mark's gospel continues to teach us about this ngayong araw na ito. As we look at the death of the greatest prophet of them all, John the Baptist. Friends, let us bear in mind that the cost of faithfulness to Christ is not a problem-free life, but a persecuted one. Be faithful to the call, no matter the cost. The cost of faithfulness to Christ is not a problem-free life, but a persecuted one. Be faithful to the call, no matter the cost. We have divided this passage into three headings. Number one, disturbing report. A disturbing report, verses 14 to 16. Number two, a direct rebuke, verses 17 to 20. And number three, a dangerous request, verses 21 to 29. Let's go to number one, a disturbing report. Tingnan po natin ang verse 14. King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Pagkatapos kinumisyon ni Jesus ang kanyang mga disciples throughout Galilee, they went from town to town and house to house, preaching the gospel, providing healing and casting out demons. At dahil dito, mas lalong kumalat ang popularidad ni Jesus. Lahat ng mga miraculous activities na ginawa ni Jesus at ang kanyang mga disciples ay nakarating sa tenga ni Haring Herodes or ni King Herod. Now, this is the first time na pinakilala sa atin sa gospel ni Mark si King Herod. Siya ay kilala din sa pangalan na Herod Antipas or Herod the Tetrarch na matatagpuan sa Matthew 14 at saka Luke 9. Siya ang isa sa mga anak ni Herod the Great. Tinawag siyang Tetrarch because he governs or rules the fourth part of his father's kingdom. Yan po ay ang Galilee at saka Perea. So in short, hindi po talaga siya officially isang hari, kung hindi siya po ay isang ruler lamang. Mark intentionally addressed him this way upang ipakita ang kanyang malalim na pagnanasa na maging isang hari at ituring bilang isang hari. Reports about Jesus disturbed Herod. Marahil ang nag-inquire siya sa kanyang mga opisyal kung ano ba talaga ang palagay ng mga mamamayan patungkol sa miracle-working Jesus na ito. Tingnan po natin sa verse 14 hanggang 15. Some said John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him. But others said he is Elijah. And others said he is a prophet like one of the old prophets of old. So, within the Jewish community po, kahit sa kanila, ay hindi nila sigurado kung sino ba talaga si Jesus. They have been confronted by the word preached by Jesus, and they had witnessed the miraculous works ng mamang ito. At dahil po dyan, everyone who had encountered with him are trying to figure out, or trying to explain kung sino ba talaga si Jesus. You know, sa panahon po natin, this is also true. People had heard many preachings about Jesus, had seen many video clips and films about the works and words of Jesus, and are trying to find an explanation kung sino ba talaga si Jesus. At mga kaibigan, ito maaari ang dahilan kung bakit po ninyo sinusubaybayan ang ating video sermon every week. Dahil maaaring nagkaroon kayo ng sudden interest or even confusion kay Jesus, or even find some of His claims quite disturbing. Kaya iniimbestigahan mo ang identity ni Jesus at ganun na rin po ang Christianity. Kung sinusubaybayan po ninyo ang mga sermons sa page na ito in order to investigate and explore more about Jesus and about Christianity, we hope na helpful po sa inyo ang mga pag-aaral na ito. Ang Gospel of Mark ay isinulat upang isiwalat ang katotohanan patungkol sa identity and purpose ni Jesus. So I encourage you to continue studying with us. At upang magkaroon po ng karagdagan linaw sa aplikasyon ng pag-aaral na ito, meron po kaming tinatawag na online elder-led group discussion. Meron po kaming tinatawag na grupo na ganito. Pagkatapos po mapanood ang sermon, meron po mga online groups na nakaschedule na mag-meet upang talakayin ang personal at saka corporate applications ng message na ito. At ang talakayan po na ito ay pinangungunahan ng mga pastors ng Crossroads. Kung kayo po ay interesado dito, bisitahin po ninyo ang aming Facebook page na Crossroads Church of Dubai, at meron pong link po doon na kailangan nyo i-click at i-redirect po kayo that will provide information kung paano po kayo makaka-join sa isa sa mga groups na ito. So the Jewish community ay may kanyikanyang haka-haka patungkol ho kay Jesus. Ngunit para kay Herod, isa lang ang explanation kung sino ang miracle worker na ito. At sino ang akala ni Herod? Tingnan po natin sa verse 16. But when Herod heard of it, he said, "John, whom I beheaded, has been raised." Herod confidently assumed na ito po daw ay si John the Baptist na muling nabuhay sa pagkapatay. Ito po ay isang opinyon na hindi nanggagaling sa isang eksperto sa pag-analyze ng fulfillment ng Old Testament prophecies. Hindi po. Ito po ay boses ng isang mama na may napakalalim na guilt, na merong guilty conscience. Na bakit po? Dahil siya po ang nag-utos magpapatay kay John the Baptist. Pinapatay niya si John kahit na alam niyang labag sa kanyang kalooban. At bakit niya ito pinapatay? Well, ito po yung ating second point. Let's look at number 2. A direct rebuke. Tingnan po natin ang verses 17. For it was Herod who had sent and seized John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because he had married her. Now, mapapansin po natin pagdating ho dito sa part na to, si Mark po ay nag-flashback, no? Sa mga verses na ito. Binalikan niya ang kaganapan bago po na-execute si John the Baptist. Pero bago po natin silipin ang kaganapan na ito, balikan po muna natin ang family tree ni Herod Antipas at pansinin natin kung gaano ito kabaluktot, kung gaano ito kagulo. Now, si Herod Antipas ay anak ni Herod the Great. He was called great hindi dahil sa kanyang karakter, kundi marami siyang mga proyektong nagawa. He's also the one responsible in building 2 cities. Okay? Ito ang Herod who ordered the execution ng hundreds of infant baby boys sa Bethlehem sa Matthew chapter 2. Opo, siya po yun. Si Herod the Great po yun. Meron siyang 10 mga asawa at sa bawat asawa na yun, nagkaroon po siya ng mga anak na lalaki. Nung siya po ay pumanaw, ang kanyang kingdom sa Palestine ay nahati po sa 4 na magkakaibang teritorye at pinamumunuan lahat ng kanyang mga anak na lalaki. Ang ilan sa mga pangalan ng mga anak niyang lalaki ay as follows. Unang-una, si Herod Antipas. Siya ang Herod po natin sa storya ngayon. Yung ikalawa naman, meron siyang half-brother na ang pangalan ay Herod Philip II na nabanggit po sa Luke chapter 3 verse 1. Now, here's the tricky part. Meron isa pa pong Philip, Herod Philip. matatagpuan po yan sa storya natin. Pero itong Herod Philip po na ito, yung pangalawang Philip na ito, ay hindi po yung Herod Philip sa Luke chapter 3. So magkaiba po siya. So Philip din ang pangalan na nabanggit sa passage natin ito sa verse 17. At ika-apat, meron din silang half-brother na ang pangalan ay Aristobulus. So si Aristobulus, bagamat hindi siya nabanggit sa scripture, pero very key po, ang kanyang pamilya sa storya na to. Now listen how twisted this family is. Si Aristobulus ay may anak na babae at ang pangalan ng anak na babae ni Aristobulus ay Herodias. Herodias, ang half-brother ni Aristobulus na si Philip, yung Philip sa storya po natin na ito, ay pinakasalan ang anak ni Aristobulus na si Herodias. In short, pinakasalan ni Philip ang kanyang pamangkin or half-niece. At hindi po naihinto ang kaguluhan ho dito. Nagkaigihan naman si Herodias at ang half-brother ng kanyang asawa na si Herod Antipas. In short, nagkaigihan silang dalawa and from there, gusto na ho nilang magsama. So anong kanilang ginawa? Both Herod Antipas and Herodias divorced their spouses upang tuluyan silang magpakasal. And friends, this was forbidden sa Jewish law. Okay? At na-mention po yan sa Leviticus chapter 18 at saka sa Leviticus chapter 20. Now, mayroon tinatawag na Levirate law na nakapag ang isang lalaki ay pumanaw na wala nang naiwang anak sa kanyang asawa, it is the responsibility ng kapatid o malapit na kamag-anak na pakasalan ng nabalo at bigyan po siya ng anak. Kung kasama nyo kami sa sermon series natin sa Book of Ruth, yun po ang ginawa ni Boaz kay Ruth ho mismo. Pero ang problema rito, buhay pa ang kanilang mga asawa. And yet, dinivorce ni Herod Antipas ang kanyang asawa without any legitimate reasons. And ito po ay isang malaking paglabag sa batas ng Jewish law. And John was not happy. These are two public figures. At si John the Baptist naman ay isang public voice. At so anong ginawa niya bilang public voice? He directly and publicly rebuked itong royal couple na ito. Tingnan niyo sa verse 18. For John had been saying to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." John preached against this incestuous, adulterous relationship. He called it sin. He called sin by its name. His preaching was fearless and faithful sa salita ng Diyos. As we have seen in the beginning in Mark's gospel, si John the Baptist na po is a faithful and bold preacher. People come to him to hear him preach and even ask his counsel. Ganun po kasikat si John the Baptist sa time niya. At tingnan niyo po sa Luke chapter 3, verses 10 to 14. Different people from different walks of life throng to him para humingi ng kanyang counsel. And the crowds ask him, "What then shall we do?" And he answered them, "Whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none, and whoever has food is to do likewise." Verse 12, tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, "Teacher, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than you are authorized to do." Verse 14, soldiers also asked him, "And we, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusations, and be content with your wages." John the Baptist was a bold preacher. He was a faithful preacher of God's word. Nung may mga nagpapabaptize sa kanyang isang grupo na kung saan mali ang kanilang motibo sa pagpapabaptize, ito ang sinabi niya sa Luke chapter 3 verse 9. "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" He used the word brood vipers figuratively. So in short, ang sinasabi po talaga niya sa mga tao ito is this: kayong mga anak ng Diablo, sino may sabi sa inyo na maliligtas kayo sa pagpapabautismo? Man, what a fiery, bold preacher John was. Pero isa sa mapapansin din natin kay John the Baptist is that he's also a humble preacher. He's a humble preacher. And always points people to Jesus and not to himself. Nung tinanong siya ng mga tao kung siya ba ang inaabangang-abangan na Messiah o Kristo, ito pong sinabi niya sa John 3:28. I'm not the Christ, but I have been sent before Him. John chapter 1 verse 27, He who comes after me, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. John chapter 1 verse 29, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, pointing people to Christ, literally. John chapter 3 verse 30, He must increase, but I must decrease. Sabi ng senior pastor ng Parkside Church sa Ohio na si Alistair Begg, John the Baptist's preaching was in part by humility, clarity, urgency, and integrity. Mga kaibigan, ito po ay isang paalaala sa mga mangangaral ng salita ng Diyos. Kung ikaw po ay pastor o nag-aaral magpastor, o isang Bible study leader, ito po yung isang magandang paalaala sa atin. That we are to be bold, humble, and faithful teachers and preachers of God's Word. And a faithful preacher of God's Word regularly preaches expositional sermons. Now, ibig sabihin na expositional preaching exposes God's Word, where the preacher takes a passage of Scripture, faithfully explains it, and applies the meaning of the passage sa life ng kanyang congregation. An expositional preacher begins and ends with Scripture. Sabi ni Mark Dever, senior pastor ng Capitol Hills Baptist Church sa Washington, D.C., expositional or expository preaching is preaching in which the main point of the biblical text being considered becomes the main point of the sermon being preached. A faithful preacher of God's Word also always points his listeners to Jesus. Where the gospel is central sa kanyang sermon, the gospel is central sa kanyang sermon at hindi yung morality, hindi politics, hindi experiences, kung hindi si Christ, kung hindi yung ginawa ni Christ on the cross. Where the preacher takes an Old Testament and New Testament text, connects it to Christ's cross and empty tomb. Yung pong ibig sabihin ng centered sa gospel ang preaching. Brother pastors and teachers of God's Word, hindi na po natin kailangan maghanap pa ng mga bagong pakulo o programa upang akitin natin ang mga tao na umattend sa ating church. Hindi na po natin kailangan gawin yon. Hindi din necessarily na kailangan magaling tayo magpatawa to entertain them o inspire them sa ating oratory skills or heartwarming stories, or impress them sa paggamit at pag-navigate ng mga modernong visuals. Hindi po. John the Baptist wears an unusual clothing. He preaches in an unusual location. Pero hindi po sa itsura niya o sa lugar ng kanyang gawain naakit ang mga tao sa kanya. Siya po ay dinadayo at dinudumog ng mga tao all over Judea and Jerusalem para sa faithful preaching of God's Word. At dahil sa faithful preaching of God's Word, people were convicted of sins, were confessing their sins, and were getting baptized. Brother pastors and teachers of God's Word, I urge you to fight the temptation of adding and subtracting the to the Word of God and to the gospel to gather crowds. Let's fight that temptation. God's Word and the gospel is sufficient to revive dead souls. It is sufficient to empower the saints to do the work of ministry. Let us be reminded that God's people are always drawn to God's Word. Crowds of people from all over Jerusalem and Judea visits John the Baptist to this desolate place. Para saan? Upang pakinggan ang kanyang faithful preaching ng salita ng Diyos. Upang pakinggan and to be convicted of their sins and repent from it and be baptized. Yun po ang dahilan kung bakit dinadayo ng mga tao si John. Mga kaibigan, ito po ay isang magandang paalaala din at hamon bilang mga tagapakinig ng salita ng Diyos. Ang faithful preaching po ba ng salita ng Diyos ang pinakadahilan kung bakit tayo pumupunta ng church? O madalas manood o makinig sa mga mangangaral online? Do we love listening to God's word preached because it reveals to us who God is? That causes us to behold His beauty, His majesty, His grandeur, His holiness? That by knowing who this God is, humbles our hearts and leads us to repentance? That it reminds us that we are not our own, that we should live for His glory by heralding the gospel to the lost for their salvation and taking that same gospel and heralding it to the saints for their sanctification. Nung pinreach ni John ito sa royal couple na ito, may dalawang klaseng reactions tayong makikita. Makita yan sa verse 19 to 20. And Herod had a grudge against him and wanted to put him to death. But she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he kept him safe. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. Si Herodias, she nursed a grudge, o nagkimkim po siya ng galit sa kanyang puso to the point na gusto na niyang ipapaslang si John the Baptist. Ganun na lang ang galit niya kay John. Ganun pa man, hindi pinayagan po ito ni Haring Herodes. Bakit po? Kasi may takot po siya kay John. Well, actually, yung takot ni Herod kay John ay may pagka-superstitious. Dahil ang pagkakilala niya kay John ay isang holy man, isang alagad ng Diyos, at alam niya sa sarili niya na hindi siya holy at masama. Siguro iniisip niya kapag sinaktan niya si John, ay mapapahamak po ang kanyang buhay. Kaya ginawa niya ang lahat para hindi mahamak si John. Also, takot din siya sa mga taong bayan. Bakit kamo? Kasi po, baka pag kung ano man ang gawin niya kay John, na kung saan tinuturing ng taong bayan na isang tunay na propeta, baka kung ano mangyari sa kanya. Baka magalit ang mga masa sa kanya, kaya hindi niya po ito ginawa. Friends, confronting someone's sin with the truth of God's word is a dangerous thing. You will be hated. You will be misunderstood. You will be accused of being judgmental and self-righteous. You will be accused to be unloving and intolerant. It could cost you your relationships. It could cost you your peace within your relationships. It could cost you your name, your acceptance, your job, and to some extreme circumstances, it can cost you your life. John's bold confrontation sa royal couple na ito cost him his freedom and later on cost him his life. Friends, confronting someone's sin with the truth of God's word is a dangerous thing. It's a risky thing. It's an awkward thing. But it is a Christian thing to do. It is a loving thing to do. It is what Jesus instructs us to do. Matthew 18:15. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault. Galatians 6:1. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. 2 Timothy 2:24 to 25. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach patiently, enduring evil. Verse 25, correcting his opponents with gentleness. And Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 says, speaking the truth in love. Kaibigan, may napapansin ka bang kasalanan na nagpapatuloy sa buhay ng ating mga kapatiran o sa buhay ng mga iyong minamahal? Ano po ang inyong naging pasya? Magkokomprontahan ba? O magbubulag-bulagan? O maaaring meron kaya ng mga taong kinumpronta? Ito mo ba ay nagawa ninyo na may pusong mapagkumbaba at may pagmamahal? O baka naman naisagawa po natin ito sa kapamamaraanan ng kalupitan o na may pagmamataas o medyo prideful? Para naman sa mga tumanggap ng correction, were you humbled or were you defensive? Are you repenting or are you resenting? Herodias nursed a grudge, but Herod responded differently. Tingnan po niyo sa verse 20. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. Pagkatapos niya mapakinggan ang rebuke na sermon ni John sa kanila, he became perplexed, agitated, or short, nabulabog, nabagabag. Ito medyo weirdo dito, no? Pero nai-enjoy niyang pakinggan si John the Baptist preach. He enjoys listening to John's preaching. Ngunit hindi ito naging sapat para magkaroon siya ng tapang gawin kung ano yung tama. Siya ay isang people pleaser, isang taong mayabang. Ngunit mahina naman ang loob. Friends, just an observation. Many enjoy watching and listening to bold, faithful preachers sa YouTube, so kanuman mga videos sa kanilang pinapanood. And then, post their sermons on FB and IG. There are people who love reading theologically sound books and articles and then tweet their quotes. And these people are also regularly engaging on online discussions and even arguments. But, now meron po ako dun, but, I'm not saying ito po'y mali, but, they lack the discernment and courage to apply what they have heard, what they have watched, what they have read, and what they have studied. And friends, the truth of the matter is, guilty tayo lahat dyan. Naalala ko nung nag-preach po ako sa isang sermon sa Matthew chapter 18 where it talks about that you should be confronting your brother who has sinned against you. I remember years back that I really prepared well and I think by God's grace, I preached it decently. So I think marami naman tumanggap po ng may joy sa kanilang puso. I remember yung takeaway ng mga tao sa sermon na ito is paulit-ulit lang sinasabi as they quoted yung sinabi ko is confront sin with love. Confront sin with love or speak truth in love. So that was resonating, reverberating sa mga tenga at bibig ng mga members namin. And I felt a little proud about it. Of course, that is a negative type of proud. It was a bad proud. Until one day, I heard yung isa sa mga members po namin committed adultery. I was really upset. I was really frustrated. And to the point of, I was really angry. Galit na galit po ako nung nalaman ko po ito. Kasi kaklose ko yung tao na ito. At part po siya ng leadership role sa ministry. And then nalaman ko yun, I was really upset. Nung nakita kami, I immediately blasted him with everything na gusto ko sabihin. I yelled at him, gave him a piece of my mind, and really gave him a strong rebuking. After po ng conversation na yan, nakalipas mga ilang araw, it just hit me. All of the studying and all of the teaching that I enjoyed doing, na-realize ko po, na hindi ko pala alam kung paano i-apply yung tinuro ko. One thing I do know, there was no love in that confrontation. There was no love. Friends, do not make my mistake. Do not be like Herod. Sabi sa James chapter 3 verse 13, who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. Si Herod ay people pleaser, mayabang, at walang kinikilalang otoridad kung hindi ang kanyang sarili. Ito po ang kanyang kahinaan at ito din ang naglagay sa kanya ng ilang beses sa alanganin. Which is isa na po ito sa number 3, which is yung last point natin. Dangerous, a dangerous request. Basahin po natin verse, mga following verses po na ito. 21. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his nobles and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. For when Herodias' daughter came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, "Ask me whatever you wish, and I will give it to you." And he vowed to her, "Whatever you ask me, I will give you up to half of my kingdom." Now, ito po yung climax ng narrative na ito. Nagpa-party si Herod. Birthday po kasi niya. Ang mga inimbita niyang mga tao ay mga bigatin. Ang mga tanyag, ang mga maimpluensya, ang mga mayayaman, mga politika, mga taong mataas na opisyal sa militar, you name it, mga negosyante, nandun ho lahat yun. I could have imagined ang setup po sa dining hall ay napaka-elegante. Elegante yung mga dekorasyon, masasarap at mamahalin ang mga hinain na pagkain. Nag-uumapaw ang mga nagmamahala na mga alak, engarbo ang mga kasuotan ng bawat isa. At marahil may mga masasayang tugtugan na nangyayari po. And I could have imagined this. At sa kalagitnaan ng kasiyahan na ito, biglang naiba ang tono ng musika. At dahan-dahan pumasok ang anak ni Herodias at sumayaw. Sumayaw. Na hindi po nakalagay sa passage po natin kung anong klaseng sayaw ang kanyang sinayaw. Hindi po nakalagay po sa mga accounts. Ngunit, according kay first century historian na si Josephus, itong babae na to, ang pangalan niya ay si Salome. At ang term na girl na binanggit po dito sa verse 22 is the same term na ginamit sa anak ni Jairus na 12 years old. So in short, yung edad ng girl na ito is right around 12 years old pataas. So in short, she's about teenage years or teenager yung kanyang edad. Sa Jewish law, that is already considered a marriageable age. Hindi po nabanggit, kagaya ko nasabi, na kung anong klaseng sayaw ang ginawa niya, pero I think obviously, marahil ito ay sensual na sayaw. Dahil sa verse 22, nasiyahan si Herod at lahat ng mga kalalakihan sa dining hall nung napanood nila ang teenage princess sumayaw. This teenager was willing to use her sensuality upang makakuha ng atensyon na gusto niya at mamanipulate ang mga tao para ibigay lang ang kanyang kagustuhan. At eto na po ang nangyari. Look at verse 22. Sabi ni Herod sa kanya, "Ask me for whatever you wish and I will give it to you." And verse 23, "And he vowed to her, 'Whatever you ask me, I will give you up to the half of my kingdom.'" Now, gusto ko lang kausapin, I'd like to talk to our teenagers here for a while. I know what most of you, if not all of you, wanted. I know what most of you, if not all of you, wanted. And this is what you really wanted. You really wanted to be liked. Yeah. You wanted to be liked. And you are tempted to do almost anything. Tempted to say almost anything, do anything, drink anything, eat anything, wear anything, or barely wear nothing, just to be accepted, just to fit in, just to be appreciated, just to get attention, just to be loved, just to get a lot of hits and likes and subscriptions and followers. Young people, here's my question to you. What kind of video clips of yourself have you been uploading sa TikTok lately? What kind of pictures of yourself have you been posting sa Instagram? Princess Salome knew what she was doing. Hindi po siya inosente dito. She was willing to be used sa schemes ng kanyang nanay. In fact, it is possible na matagal na siyang hinahanda ng kanyang nanay sa mga ganitong klaseng handaan in hopes na sa kalasingan at kayabangan ng kanyang asawa ay hihilingin niya ito sa harapan ng mga tao at yun ang pag-uunlakan niyang, yun ang i-request niya sa kanyang anak. At dumating na nga po yung oportunidad, kung mapapansin niyo sa verse 21, ibig sabihin, inaabang-abangan nila. Look at verse 24. And you see, Salome went out and said to her mother, "For what should I ask?" And immediately, hindi na nag-isip. She said, "The head of John the Baptist." Success ang plano. Princess Salome knew what she was doing. She was not innocent. As a matter of fact, she was the one who added the horrendousness of the request. Tingnan po niya in verse 25. When he approached Herod, "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." Sa pinggan. Some would say on a silver platter. This was a dangerous request. Napasubo si Herod dito. Sa harap na lahat ng kanyang mga bisita nung binitawan ng request na ito, he has no seconds to spare. Mahinto lang to ng 1, 2, 3, 5 seconds. Delikado na po yan. Kailangan na niya sagutin niya kagad yung tanong na to. He cannot mumble. He cannot procrastinate. Hindi na siya pwede magpawarde-warde ng kanyang sasabihin. Well, in that time, he was torn. He knew what was the right thing to do, pero hindi niya ginawa dahil sa fear of men. Sa fear ng opinion sa sasabihin ng mga guests niya. Iniisip niya siguro, "Naku, baka sabihin wala akong isang salita ng mga tao ito, hindi magtiwala sa akin. O kaya naman, naku, baka sabihin nila, mahinang klaseng hari ako. Naku, anong gagawin ko? Ito lang gagawin ko. Sige! Papugot ang ulo ni John the Baptist." Which is yun ang nangyari sa verse 26 to 29. "And the king was exceedingly sorry, but because of his oaths and his guests, he did not want to break his words to her. And immediately the king sent an executioner with words to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison, and brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl, and the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard of it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb." Herod chose not to lose face sa harapan ng tao. He feared man more than he feared God. He made an oath, a vow, a promise na gagawin niya ang lahat at para hindi siya masira sa harapan ng kanyang bisita, he fulfilled his promise kahit alam niyang mali na ito. Friends, the Bible encourages us to keep our promises. Nasa Numbers chapter 3, verse 20, verse 2 po yan. Ngunit, may mga promises po o mga oaths or vows na dapat hindi po natin tupadin. Kung meron po tayong pangako na hindi tutupadin, is ito po yun, yung tupadin na magkasala. At yan po ay ang magkasala. Kung meron man tayong pangako na dapat baliin, ay yung pong yung pangakong makikiisa sa kasalanan. Kaya si Herod, kaya naman ni Herod itama yung ginawa niyang promise. Ang problema lang po rito, tinuloy pa rin po niya. It was wrong for him to make that promise. In the first place, it's even more wrong to fulfill it. Ang tanong po dito ay, sino ba ang mas kinakatakutan mo? Ang Diyos ba o tao? Clearly, alam natin yung sagot ni Herod dito. Takot mo siya sa tao. Which is yun din ang kinabagsak niya. Mga kaibigan, may mga pangako ka bang tinupad? O may mga pangako ka bang tinutupad ngayon kahit alam mo na ito'y kasalanan na? Young people, what secret sins are you hiding from your parents that you promise your friend or classmate not to tell your parents or anyone about it? Christians, same question. What secret sins are you hiding with someone right now? that both of you promised to keep it among yourselves. According sa isang online magazine na ang tawag ay Table Talk, a vow to sin is unlawful to begin with, and the only way of honoring God in such a circumstance is to break that oath. O baliin yung pangako na yan. Mga kaibigan, ang mga pangako that is made to commit sin ay hindi dapat tuparin. Kailangan natin pagsisihan ang mga nagawa nating sinful promises and pursue righteousness. We should fear God and be willing to face the consequences as we make things right. To make things right will also hurt. May consequences. It doesn't promise a painless life. No. If you try to make things right, mararamdaman niyo po yun. Aaray po kayo dito. Aaray tayo. Gaya ni John the Baptist, he chose to do what is right and pleasing sa harapan ng Panginoon, that it cost him his life. John's faithfulness to God that led to his suffering and execution points to a much greater faithfulness and a much greater suffering. Jesus, the truly faithful one who was sent by God the Father to redeem His people from their sins. Jesus lived a life of perfect obedience to God the Father. Like John, He too faced Herod Antipas. Jesus faced Herod Antipas in Luke chapter 23 verse 8. Herod saw Jesus and was glad because he wanted to see him for such a long time. Kasi he wants him to perform miracles sa harapan niya. But after asking Jesus a series of questions, Jesus gave him no answer. Why? Because it is a fulfillment ng prophecy sa Isaiah 53:7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Yan po nakakatakot. Herod had the opportunity before. Ang silence ni Jesus doesn't just fulfill the prophecy, his silence also means Herod's judgment. Wala na siyang chance. Jesus died on that cross for our sins. For our sins, he was buried. And on the third day, like John's disciples, Jesus' disciples also came to look for his body in the tomb. But unlike John's disciples, Jesus' body ay hindi nakita ng kanyang disciples. Why? Because Jesus lives. He, in the third day, he has risen from the grave. And this is good news. Jesus lives. If Jesus lives, then we live. Friends, this is the glorious news of the gospel, that you and I, who deserve nothing, have been given an opportunity to have a relationship with God and to live a life everlasting in His presence forever. So friends, I urge you, repent from your self-righteousness. Repent from relying on yourself for salvation. Turn away from that and trust Jesus Christ and His finished work on the cross for your salvation. John the Baptist's flashback story is really another Markan sandwich. Yung story of John the Baptist was placed right in the middle between Jesus sending his disciples on a mission trip, so verses 7 to 13 in chapter 6, and also yung pagbalik ng mga disciples niya from that mission trip, so verse 30. Now, di ba, pag ganyan Mark and sandwich, meron pong tinutumpok, meron ina-emphasis si Mark pag ganon. So, ano po yun? Mark intentionally did that sandwich to remind his original recipients ng letter na ito. Okay? And to us today, that there is a cost to following Jesus. The followers of Jesus are not immune to suffering and persecution, rejection, and even death. Jesus said that a disciple is not above his teacher. Meaning, if Jesus suffer, we will also suffer. Friends, let us be reminded sa oras na ito that the cost of faithfulness to Christ is not a problem-free life, but a persecuted one. Be faithful to the call, no matter the cost. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you for dying on that cross. Thank you for the good news of the gospel that gave us hope. As people who you have saved by grace, now you commission us and given us authority to fulfill that mission by your grace. I pray, Father, as your followers, would you help us to persevere? Would you give us the mercy, the grace, the strength to continue enduring persecution and rejection and hatred and misunderstanding sa mga tao na sinisiraan po namin, sa mga tao na inaabot po namin para sa inyo? Would you help us to be patient? Would you help us to be kind? And I pray that one day that you would open their hearts and save them, and that we could glorify your name altogether. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.